Interview for you this morning on the Security Savings Bank Community Hour. Joining me on the telephone from Ameren, Illinois, is Distribution Design Supervisor, Mr. Brian Cuffell. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Very good. Very good.
Good. Tell us where you're calling in from this morning.
I live in Spalding, just east of Springfield.
Okay.
And that's where I'm calling in from this morning.
Okay. Well, thanks for taking time to talk to us. As you have seen and heard, many of our municipalities are receiving telephone calls from residents as the push for solar seems to be hitting our area at this time. And it's all due to some pretty aggressive renewable energy goals. Key, though, that we wanted to take some time today and learn about Ameren and how you're doing with modernization of the power grid. Go ahead and take it away, Brian.
Sure, no problem. And yes, you know, with all the incentives that are out there that are from federal and state incentives, it's a very big push, and Ameren is very supportive of renewables within our territory with our customers. We've been, since 2008, when net metering started and they standardized the interconnection processes, we've been very supportive from the very start. So, you know, any of our customers that want to do that, we try to assist in that. We try to assist in terms of letting them know what the rules are, what those incentives are that Ameren provides. There's a smart inverter rebate that came out with the CEJA law and FEJA law. FEJA actually had a rebate for commercial customers. And when CEJA was passed, the Climate Energy Jobs Act, what happened was they allowed them, they expanded those rebates to residential customers. So those residential customers have the ability to get a rebate in addition to the federal tax credit that's out there and the state renewable energy credits that are out there. So we're very supportive of that. And all the things that we are doing is continue to work with customers. We want to make sure our whole goal, our mission is to provide, you know, affordable, safe, reliable power to our customers while enabling renewables. So we do that on a constant basis. And they, with those incentives, what's happened is, you know, we have had a very big growth of renewables within our territory. Our record year was 2022. We had 2,900 customers throughout our territory that put in solar. That last year, it broke the record by more than three times. So we had about 9,600, so almost 10,000 customers put in solar within our territory. And so we do that. We work with the customers. We try to explain to them what it's going to look like on their bill and all of those pieces with that. With all of that, I mean, you know, we're still remaining reliable. Our grid is reliable out there. Ameren, Illinois is a delivery company. Back in 96, they passed the law where, you know, we had to decide whether or not we were going to be a delivery company or a power company. Where we had power, we elected to be a delivery company. And that way then customers had a choice where they could actually get their commodity, the actual power. So we don't have any power plants anymore. We don't own power. We deliver power to our customers. And we continue to try to, you know, we had a 345,000 KV line that we put in through that went from all the way from Iowa all the way to Indiana throughout our territory to help with making sure that we continue to have voltage and all the power that needs the power needs of our customers throughout our territory. There's another project, the transmission project, that's going to be going through again, just like the 345 line that went from Iowa to Indiana. There's another one going is actually in the process of being started for the, again, the same thing. We want to remain reliable and be able to deliver our power or deliver power to our customers.
Where's the next transmission line expected to be?
It's again from Iowa to Indiana, but it's another area in our northern part of our territory. We Ameren, Illinois has about three quarters of the state, all the way from Galesburg, north of Galesburg, to Watseka. That's kind of our most north parts.
Okay.
We go all the way down to Cairo, the very southern tip of Illinois. So we have that other one, that's already in place, went from, I'd say, around the Quincy, north of Quincy area through Pike County and then south into southern Sangamon County, across Morgan or Montgomery County, and all the way to the east to Indiana. And it's just going to, this other one is going to be north of Anna. And those areas through the irrigation, through the Illinois River Basin, and then across north of Springfield. In that area, and I don't know exactly what track it's going to take right now, but that's the planned tracking right now of where that line's going to be. But it's just another measure that we're taking to make sure that our customers have reliable, affordable, safe power while still doing and enabling renewables throughout our territory and helping our customers.
We're talking with Brian Cuffell. He is a supervisor with Ameren Illinois Distribution Design. So how does it work if one does install at a residential level the solar panels? How does it capture solar energy and provide you with more power? And what's the benefit to the customer? And are there any negatives?
I mean, what happens is, you know, the customer has to evaluate what the developer is going to charge them for that solar to put on their house or put in their backyard and so on. Everybody that puts it behind their meter at their house is going to use their power first before it ever goes to the grid. So whatever power they're producing and using from that solar array, they're not going to get from the grid, and that's going to reduce their bill accordingly. And how net metering works is if they produce more than what they use, it will overflow out through their meter, and we measure that. What we do is we put a meter in there that it's actually, we reprogram the meter to make sure it's got two channels in it. One channel is the power coming into the customer, and one channel is the power going out to the grid. And so we measure both of those each and every month at the end of the month, whether or not they're billed on the 15th of every month or the 20th of every month. But we, at the end of every month for that customer, we get that total. And then what we do is we look at that total and subtract anything that the customer pushed out to the grid. We subtract that from the total they got from the grid. And we do that subtraction before it ever actually drops through billing. So an example of that is if a customer got 1,000 kilowatt hours from the grid, because obviously at nighttime, they're not going to be producing power. The solar is not going to be producing at nighttime. So they're going to be using from the grid. But if that customer uses 1,000 kilowatt hours from the grid that month, and then at the times when they are producing, they're producing more, maybe they're producing more than what they're using at that time, and they overproduce in excess 300. So that 300 goes out to the grid. We would subtract the 300 from the 1,000, and we bill them for 700 in the bill. So the delivery section, the supply section, and the tax section of the bill, we would bill them for 700 instead of the 1,000 that they actually got from the grid. So they get the true one-for-one credit for those 300 that they produced in excess. Now, they might have produced 2,000 that month, but the 1,700 they produced and used internally where it didn't go out to the grid, so they didn't get 1,700 from the grid because they used it themselves because they produced it themselves. And that solar power will go, you know, most of the time the customer will, or the developer and the installer, they will put it in where it goes right into their breaker panel. And sometimes in between the meter and the breaker panel, they'll do a line side connection there, and it will still flow based on physics. It will actually flow into their panel before it will ever overflow out to the grid.
Okay. Can that act as a natural generator if they're using their solar energy or power rather first, if the power goes out?
Right. What happens is if the power goes out, so all solar is produces in DC. Everybody's power that people use in their house is AC, alternating current.
Okay.
But that alternating, so what you have to do is you have to convert it with an inverter, and it's a, and that inverter is a synchronized inverter that converts it from DC to AC. That conversion, what happens is it's got to see the AC, it's got to see power on the other side of the inverter for it to know what to match it up to, because it's a 60 hertz wave power that's on the AC side. So it's an alternating current, 60 hertz waves. So what happens is if there's no power that's out on the grid, so if we had a storm comes through and the power goes out because we had some lines go down, mm-hmm. or something like that, what happens is it shuts the solar down. The panels themselves will always produce power if the sun's up. The sun's up, it will always produce power, but that power will go to the inverter, and it doesn't know what to convert the power to from a DC to AC because there's no power on the other side of it. It will stop there at that inverter.
Okay.
So it's not going, you can't necessarily use it as a backup generator because there's no power on the other side of it to use. And it actually, that's a safety precaution, because what if a customer puts on a generator and they don't throw their master disconnect there at their breaker panel, their main breaker. If they don't throw that main breaker, what if that power goes out to the grid and our guys are out there working on it to try to get their whole grid back up? Then there's some safety precautions, and that's why that it's actually a UL 1741 rating, IEEE 1547 rating, that if there's no power on the other side of it, it automatically shuts the solar array down until there's power. Then when it starts to see power again, then it will synchronize again and it'll start flowing right through that inverter again.
Okay. All right, Brian. So next question then is, we have seen all utility companies have to, or power companies have to raise their rates for their customers throughout this last few years. Do you see that any relief coming soon as you get these transmission lines up and some redundancy in the power grid?
Well, the one thing about it is everybody can see that everything across the board has went up over the last few years. And it's just a gradual inflation. And so on. So everybody, I mean, our power is literally, I mean, if you look at the power, our power cost from a customer standpoint in the Midwest, we are very low compared to the rest of the country. The Midwest power is just lower than everybody else across the country. If you go out west towards California or out east towards, you know, New Jersey and all those states.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the power, just look at the average power cost in those states compared to the Midwest across the board. So we're doing everything we can do to keep our power affordable for our customers, but we're still trying to boost our grid to make sure that we have reliable power for our customers. So we want to continue to invest money in our grid and in the grid so our customers still have reliable power. They don't have to worry about outages and all those things like that. That in some cases, I mean, everybody's talked about over the last few years about the possible brownouts and all that that might happen across the Midwest or across Illinois. That's why we're continuing to put infrastructure in to make sure that that doesn't happen. We're trying to do that to remain reliable for our customers.
What causes a brownout? You do hear about that in certain states on the East and West Coast. What causes a brownout, Brian?
Well, I mean, what happens is there's not enough voltage coming from the power plants. The power plants, remember, I mean, we've had several power plants, the coal-fired power plants, that have been shut down over the last few years. I know Maridosha was one that went, I mean, I would say about 10 years ago, it got shut down.
Mm-hmm.
Well, right off the bat, when Maridosha got shut down, there was, in the western Illinois, there was some voltage issues across from some of our customers, especially some of our big industrial customers. And what we did was that's where the 345 line started to come into play. And we really started thinking about, okay, we need to really figure out how to get voltage to make sure that voltage fluctuation doesn't happen for those customers. so they can remain in business and still do business like normal. And so that's what we continually look at to make sure as some of these old coal-fired power plants shut down, we gotta figure out a way to make sure that our voltage still stays adequate for our customers, so they don't see any change in their business at all based on the power that's out there.
Do you feel confident that in your customer region here in Illinois, which was from Galesburg to Watseka to Cairo, do you feel confident that the current improvements you're making to the Ameren grid will prevent brownouts and blackouts for us?
Oh, most definitely. And other things that we're doing, you know, we created a demand response program where, you know, customers, especially some of the big industrial customers, if they go into the program, they get incentives. So in those times where it's the biggest demand for power, in the middle of the summer when it's so hot, everybody's got their air conditioning on and everybody's, you know, using a lot of power, what happens is if we get to an event where it's a real high demand day, we can kind of notify them and say, hey, can you reduce your power by a little bit? Just so we remain reliable across the board. So we started putting into some of those avenues too, to try to help with that in case it gets to a point where that might be the case in the future. But that's why we're continuing. We want to still invest in our grid, and that way we remain reliable for our customers. That's why we want to continue to do, you know, the modernization grid plan that we want to do. We put the grid plan in place. We're refiling it in the next week or two with the Illinois Commerce Commission. We want to continue to invest in our grid so we can still provide adequate power to our customers and remain reliable. And we continue to, you know, with outages, we have record times that we are now getting with a lot of different avenues, not just guys out there putting poles back up when the storm comes through, but all kinds of different pieces of equipment that will help switch things. You know, we can switch from one circuit to another circuit to try to make sure that, okay, instead of 10,000 people being out of power, it might be only 50 people out of power within seconds. And that's some of the equipment that we have in place that we're continuing to upgrade and to continuing to put those more and more of those pieces of equipment out there to try to help with that.
Yeah, that's what we experienced back in December. You might remember we had three power outages within a 48-hour period, trying due to lines going down close to Abingdon, and we tried the redundancy. And I got to give your guys credit from Ameren. They were very on top of everything. They worked so hard and did everything they could to restore power as fast as possible. So you've got wonderful employees.
No, I appreciate the comment that, you know, our people work very, very hard to make sure that our customers have power back. Last year, you know, around 4th of July, you know, the big storm that came through that literally hit the whole entire state. I mean, it was I can't remember exactly what they called that, but that storm that came through, I was out in the field for about 5 to 6 days working to, and it was not just a section. It wasn't like just in the Peoria area, or it wasn't just in the Bloomington area or Springfield area. It was from the very northern part of our territory all the way to the south. And it was really scattery across. I mean, you know, we'd have big clumps of customers out, and then we'd have a whole bunch of just single customers out all over because of the wind that was there and all that. And it really, I mean, that was a very, that was one of the worst storms that we've had in a long, long time from across the board basis for our customer base.
And Brian, the county, Warren County, where we're located, there are companies that are beginning to approach the county from other states that would like to invest in backup power, battery storage, if you will. What does that mean? Is that helpful? Is that something the county should consider?
Yeah, I mean, everybody should look at doing that whether or not it's for them or not, they should still look at it. There's nothing wrong with looking at getting backup power. Certain customers, I mean, there's certain customers that are hardly ever out of power. But at the same time, if they want the security of making sure that they have power when an outage or a storm comes through, that's definitely an option. The battery storage is a great way to go with that. There is also rebates for battery storage if they associate it with a solar array that they put on their house or in their backyard or at their facility. So that's definitely an avenue to go. There's obviously backup generators that are out there from natural gas backup generators, but the battery storage is one that if you associate it with a solar array, there's rebates accordingly. For residential, it's $300 per kW. And you could go ahead and get that rebate. I mean, if you had a 10 kW system, that's $3,000 that they can have a rebate for that battery storage if it's associated with the solar array. So that's definitely an option. Like I said, we support renewables. Battery storage. What happens is the way that battery storage works is that solar array is actually charging the battery. So it's a DC coupled. It's DC coupled with the solar array, and that solar array is charging that battery. And then that way you could use that battery if the power goes out. Quite frankly, you could use the battery to supply some of your power. Even at times you could discharge the battery during the times when you need some extra power that you don't want to get it from the grid. So there's ways to do that and go around doing that.
Sure.
So it's definitely an option. And that's the evaluation that, you know, if a customer finds a developer, they can go out. I mean, to be honest, you know, there's enough customers that are doing it that most of these developers will put signs out in people's yards, you know, after they put an array in and so on. I look at those signs. It might even go ahead and stop and talk to that customer. Hey, what's your experience with that developer? Did you have a good experience with them? That's some of the avenues that you go through. I mean, the local coffee shops, all the retired guys and gals that are out there. I mean, that's one of the best avenues to find out, well, you know, who should I call? Find out that way. I mean, just look around. I mean, there's signs everywhere around about solar and so on.
Yeah, because
and just talk to people.
Sure,
talk to people. And you'll get right away all the information you need because they won't be shy about telling you whether or not they had a good experience or bad.
Yeah, that's true. And in this day and age, we must verify because we don't know who's scamming, who's not scamming. That's the hard part. Some of this stuff sounds too good to be true. But then the other element, too, is we don't want to take farmland out of production for solar arrays as well.
Sure. I mean, you know, like I said, there's a lot of good developers out there. I mean, I work with them every day. I talk to all of them every day. There's a lot of good ones out there. So, I mean, you know, I would suggest to our customers, continue to evaluate whether or not that's what you want to do. It's your decision, mm-hmm. and we support it 100%.
Okay.
And, you know, and yes, I mean, there's a lot of talk about, you know, the big solar arrays taking farmland out, you know, and putting it in solar. I think that's where some of the incentives will eventually get to a point where they're really trying to incentive like brownfield sites in terms of, you know, like landfills or so mm-hmm. on that is not farmland anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard a lot of talk like that where they'll create additional incentives for you know, pieces of property like that is not, you know, is not farmland. But
yeah.
that's you know, that's in the future. Right now, that's not the case.
Sure.
But that's across the board. And, you know, again, we support all of the renewables. It's a state incentive in terms of a state goal to be 100% renewable. And we're very supportive of that.
Okay. Brian, thanks for helping us walk through. There's a lot of solar people out knocking on doors. So thanks for breaking things down for us so we know what to look for the future. Appreciate everything you said.
Oh, no problem at all. And any customer that, you know, has somebody knocking on their door, you know, get the name of the company. And you can always call us at our business center. Our business center number is 800-232-8000. 2477. They can always call and say, hey, is this a company that you guys, I mean, do you even know about this company? And they can also look on the ICC, the Illinois Commerce Commission website. There's a certified installer list that they have to certify themselves with the state of Illinois through the Illinois Commerce Commission to be a certified installer of solar panels. So they have to do that. They have to go through those avenues to do that, to be able to be certified with the ICC. So it's that way, you know, they're a legitimate company that's coming by. And that's all, you know, that's the biggest piece is just, you know, customers are always weary about customers trying to sell them something. Do that little bit of legwork and make sure that there's, you know, a reputable company and ask around. I mean, that's literally a lot of the avenues that customers do every day when these people are trying to sell them something. And that's great. I mean, again, we support that. We support all of them doing, you know, selling solar and making sure that customers are getting what they want and evaluated accordingly.
Okay. Brian, thanks for all the information. We appreciate it.
No problem. Anytime.
That is Brian Cuffell with the Supervisor Distribution Design with Ameren. Let's join.